Whoa, like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield.
The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
You're listening to The Talk. Talk radio for the masses. Here on WTBR-FM 89.7. And now, let's talk.
Never turns it down. We will.
Maybe we will. Here we are.
We are.
We are. Here. It's Wednesday.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we know what time it is.
A quick programming note. The 4th annual Halloween Spooktacular right here on 89.7 WTBR-FM will air immediately after The Beatles Forever on Tuesday, Halloween night. And we will be live this year. So if we screw up, you're going to know it.
Yeah, basically we're going to go from the Beatles show to the Halloween show, and in the process of all that, there's going to be some entertainment around our house going on. My son-in-law, Josh, is going to be doing the pizza making and having all the rugrats running around because it's going to be their safe Halloween.
And of course, they'll have the Halloween show on. As we play it live. So, yes, Josh is in the studio.
Again.
Again. He's starting to become a filament in this place. We don't have Carol here this week. So, Josh is here filling in.
Yes, I'm haunting you.
Every time someone says haunting, something happens to the lights in the studio. So.
Yeah, or something weird happening. Yeah, should get interesting.
So
well, we don't know. Might be my father coming with us.
We have the last 2 weeks of our Halloween series.
Yes.
And Darlene has a two-parter.
Yeah. Yep. It should be interesting for you guys. I remember, do not go ahead and give me the dirty looks or anything. It's not from something that I had written. It's from something that I had viewed.
So part one will be this week, and then next week we'll follow up with part two.
Yes.
And that will end the Halloween series, as that brings us into All Hallows Eve.
Yes.
Where you get to hear our lovely voices, me and Jesse, for 4 hours.
Yeah.
From the Beatles Forever live at 4 to 6 p.m. on Halloween night, and then 6 to 8 p.m. Halloween Spooktacular, the 4th annual Halloween Spooktacular. We got some. We try every year to put a couple of new tunes up, so we've got a couple of new tunes to play this year.
Yes.
So tune in 6 to 8 p.m. Halloween Spooktacular Part 4 here on WTBR FM. All right, let's get into this. We got a lot of things to do and a little time to do them in.
Yes.
So
okay. I guess I'm going.
I guess you are.
Okay.
You are up, and you just jump in when you see fit.
I usually do.
All right. Well, considering...
Yeah, so we got a lot to do and a little time to do it in. So
okay.
Let her get her groove on.
Okay. This is the Demon House. Yeah, exactly. And it's Zach Bagan and the gang, and it's actually some of the information of what currently had happened during the taping of this particular story and documentary and exactly what happened with some of their action in their lives. But according to this Zach said he was sick for 8 days. He had trouble with the crew for filming the show, and some of the crew had quit at the time. Yeah, they were caught on the spot with this one, and they said they had no reason. The witnesses ended up in the hospital as well, which had messed him up quite a bit, and it caused a lot of difficulty for this. But the place, it says it's a very bad night for Warren. It took him to a place of his life in which he never went and had a dream of a 6-foot goat man standing with dark smoke coming out of its mouth, and it inhaled and literally went into Zach, and when he woke up, he was choking during the course of the thing, and which was into his lungs, and he not knowing why or what had just happened. He turned on, and then they turned on, it goes to, in Gary, Indiana, it makes the investigations news of a haunting that leads to a family's exorcism and child levitation reports. Is some of the interesting parts of the story. Zach began to the fact that he had bought the haunted house, that the family had since moved out, and they went ahead and as Zach was looking around the house, he had sent a text to Chris Fallon, the psychic medium, is telling him about his dream. Now, the thing is, he didn't release any information about the current dream about the goat man whatsoever to anybody. But Chris turned around and said he knew exactly what was going on and what he was going to be leading himself into. Mm-hmm. And
okay.
That was...
Is it weird that I know Gary, Indiana for another reason? And I mean, the
home of the Jackson 5.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting.
But wow, that's crazy.
He went ahead and he tells him that it's really to watch out for troubles coming from him, and the mother, Latoya's name, was being spoken to quite frequently into the house.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. The children and the mother are on the center of this haunting. Okay?
Mm.
Yeah. And I'm making it go a little quicker. As this, after everything had happened with the last... With them in the house, they moved to Indianapolis, and the brother's telling the brother of the guy, they couldn't get her to say anything about what had happened. They couldn't get her to tell Zach.
Oh, to acknowledge the fact that it
acknowledge
happened.
The fact of anything that occurred. So Zach began with the crew, knowing that they wanted that the lady wanted nothing to do with the house ever again. She never wanted to step foot back into the house. And they turned on the uncle decided to. So Zach's around since coming from nowhere. They had gone ahead and decided that they wanted to see if they could possibly get some more information. It says, coming from nowhere in the middle of the floors, they were having flies. This is what she turned around. She said, there were flies coming from nowhere in the middle of the winter the...
Yeah, that's never a good sign.
Yeah. And the place was known by other investigators that they found out that there are a possibility over 200 demons presiding in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chris Turns says that... Chris from Fleming, the psychic medium turned on, says there was over 200 of them, and they have to be careful, extremely careful. And this is what he was telling Zach. And he says they started having dark conversations with seeing dead people, the small children when they were living there. The family had problems with delusions, just kind of weird things with the children. And unfortunately, to find out what happened by the mother, she said she will not talk to anyone because she was afraid that if she did speak to Zach for the fact that he was inside the house, that it would come back to him because of the fact that...
Yeah, it would ricochet back to him.
It would ricochet back to them. It would go back to her. And she had already gone through it, and she wasn't going to go through it again.
Yeah.
The reason why is I have some of the things that they turned around. They said to... they said after what had happened, is this, if they do speak to him, that, you know, problems could happen. The brother talked to Zach, telling him that the kids in the home were just talking crazy. I mean, all kinds of weird, crazy stuff. At the time, he witnessed one of the kids actually levitating. He witnessed his nephew be tossed across the room, literally, for no reason. Just picked up and flung against a wall. Mm. He witnessed his nephews go ahead and speak vulgar to their mother, turn around calling her the B word. They were speaking to each other as if they were just common trash on the sidewalk. One of them turned around and said that to get your hands off me. And turned around and he says, you bee. Now the family was it was just literally in fear constantly. But the main thing was is that they had started punching on one another, kicking one another, screaming, yelling, hollering. I mean, this is while they were at the house, while the mother was going through the exorcisms and everything that were currently until all four of them had proceeded. And this is only while they were doing the rite of passage.
The rite of exorcism, yeah.
Yeah, this is before they did the actual exorcism on her. But this is exactly what was currently happening to these kids.
That's insane.
They were attacking the children in reference to the fact that she was seeking help.
Yeah.
They were still trying to control the kids, even though they were out of the house. They were living with him in his home. But it was going to a deeper level, deeper level.
Yeah,
with their,
it wasn't just contained to the house. It was
contained to
the family.
Yeah, it was contained to the family and the children. Yeah. So that's part of the one so far.
So that's part one. Part two.
Part one
will be next week. Little thing here to read. Skip the apple cider and try a timeline. Fall is for video editors. Join PCTV for part two of our fall production training series starting Thursday, October 26th at 6 p.m. This series is designed to teach new editors the basic of how to use Final Cut Pro, the official edit software of PCTV. For more information, please email training@pctv.org or call 445-4234, extension 0121.
Yes.
Now what? Let's see. What we got? Oh, you. you got a different take on Halloween.
For Norse pagans, it's Halloween is every day. For all intents and purposes.
At least in your house.
I mean, yes. My children do indeed haunt me every day.
We are speaking ill of my grandchildren. Those little sweet darlings. I know. I know their horns are holding up their halos.
Yes. You're telling yourself that.
The horns are holding up their halos.
Apparently.
But, in Norse paganism, we believe in the drow, which are literally undead. They're undead warriors who lived a dishonorable life or are too greedy and clung to this world to be with their treasures. I wouldn't suggest grave robbing them.
No.
Why? Why always do you have to take away my fun? Why? Why must you do this?
I mean,
we had this talk before we came on air.
I mean, if you want to try, go ahead.
No, thank you.
I'm good on that noise. But it's why locking the doors at night became a thing throughout the centuries, because the Norse were afraid of the drow entering their homes. Because that's when they come up. They come out at night.
Hence the song, "The Freaks Come Out at Night."
So that was their fear. And it's a believable fear.
I don't blame them.
So we're going to do a little interview here. This is cool. So do Norse pagans celebrate the typical All Hallows Eve like the rest of us do, or do they have different rituals or things, or do they just go with status quo and say, hey, yeah, we'll dress up in costumes and run Rocky Horror and do whatever?
Well, nowadays, yeah, that's typically what we do, but for the most part, Halloween for Norse pagans is called Alfblut.
How what?
Bless you.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's quite a long word. Thank goodness I wasn't saying it. I would have messed it up.
Yeah.
It's Alfblut.
Oh,
Festival
wow.
Festival of Ghosts.
Huh. Nice.
So is that fall, like, on October 31st through Fall Hallows Eve, or?
A week. It's an entire week long, yeah. See, in the old Norse, you would have animal sacrifice. You would have festivals. You would have a lot of mead.
He keeps pushing the mead, folks.
Absolutely.
You should hear him when he goes off air.
Well, that was their thing, and mead was a thing back then. That's what they drank, and that's. It's actually...
Yeah, but they don't,
heck, even one of their gods goes ahead and drinks at Thor.
All of them.
All of them.
All
of them do.
One of your offerings to the gods as a whole is mead.
Ah,
every single one of them will accept mead.
Nice.
So take us through what... You know, you said it's a whole week event, but what do Norse pagans do on the actual October 31st?
You technically... Nowadays,
I mean,
modern,
is it something different than the rest of us religions
in
that
modern,
go out
really.
And trick or treat and
in modern
go visit Salem and
not really. There's really not much difference. I mean, you're more or less giving thanks to the harvest. You're giving thanks to, and that's
yeah. I wonder how this works because you're Norse pagan.
Yes,
your wife is a witch.
Literally,
yes.
She's Wicca.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, how do we all get together here? Because
what do you mean? How we get together?
I mean, we're talking two separate way things between Norse paganism and Wicca.
Well, there's really no separation in the fact that spirituality.
Yes.
Ultimately, when you go down, and I don't want to talk bad about the church or anything like that, but it was the church that demonized pagans. who look at the Salem witch hunts.
Yes.
Exactly.
And pagans lived in peace for centuries. Spiritualists lived in peace with pagans.
Like this, not to bring up current events on this show, but like the Hamas-Israel war. Yeah. Finally, Netanyahu came out and said, this is a religious war. Because you know what they're fighting over, folks?
Yeah.
They're fighting over the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly. Who will end up with the Ark of the Covenant?
Yeah, exactly. As I
turn around, even if it's still there and hasn't been moved.
It's still there.
Even before I had gone ahead and even... I came out and I said it. I says, I know exactly what they're fighting over.
Archaeologists took x-rays a few years ago, and it's located just behind what they think is Jesus' tombs in Jerusalem. And I showed the pictures the other day. They actually have an x-ray picture of the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
But here's the horror. Here's the horror of it. People for something that they're never going to be able to open.
Right, because the only tribe that's allowed to open the Ark is no longer with us.
Yeah, the sect of Levi is
gone. Thank you, the Levi. No longer with us. They're the only ones that God put in charge to be able to open the Ark.
Yep.
Any other person will go ahead and perish.
So, that's what that's all about.
Yeah.
But you get these other religions, paganism and Wicca, and shamanism and God knows what other stuff. Where
and we're not knocking them.
I'm not knocking anybody.
I'm about to prop them. I'm not knocking them at all. Where it's all peaceful.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
We're not fighting over a box.
No.
We're not fighting over some cup Jesus drank from at the Last Supper.
No.
You know? Paganism gods are simple. You know, it's not like, and I want to be very careful how I put this, but the Bible is full of killing.
Yeah.
You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, the flood, it's all in there.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, yes.
Just like any other religion.
And we're not knocking that religion.
We are
Christian.
We're not knocking any religion, but I think it's time to realize that besides Judaism and Catholicism and Christian and all the umbrella under that, there's other religions out there that maybe instead of fighting over a box that you can't open.
Or God knows what else.
And the fact that within that box were the original Ten Commandments and apparently the staff from Moses.
Yep.
Learn to love someone once in a while.
Jesus said, and every religion, no matter where it's paganism or Wicca or Judaism, the bottom line to this is the gods don't want you fighting.
No.
Well, the other thing, and just like any other religion, you're going to have your bad apples. Like in Norse paganism, you have the cult that is the Wisdom of Odin. Which is literally Nazism.
They took the Nazi horrible
symbols. You're going to have your bad apples in every religion, where you have the Muslims, where you have the extreme radicalists, all because of one page of the Quran.
Or how you interpret the Quran.
There you go.
And that's a show in and of itself. And I don't want to get too deep into this because we're kind of sliding off the other thing.
Yeah.
But we'll get deeper into that as we start with, you know, different religions outside Judaism and Christianity, so you're going to be here for a while.
That's fine.
Get comfortable. So we got a few minutes left, so let's slide back to what we were doing here, because we got a little bit off track, and part two of your show will be next week, and you'll have the final show of this, so stay tuned and see what happens. I guarantee you it's not a good time. So all those that have weak hearts and weak stomachs may not want to listen to next week's show.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Mine is about the Lawson murders in Greensboro, North Carolina. Let me see. In 1929, days prior to Christmas, Mr. Lawson, he was 43 at the time, took his wife, Franny, who was 37, and their seven children, Arthur, Mary, Carrie, Maybelle, James, Raymond, and Mary Lou, the youngest being 4 months old.
Mm.
Went ahead, bought a new clothes, had a family portrait taken. You know, it wasn't unusual for that.
Time of hair.
Time for that. Unfortunately, on Christmas Day, he decided, you know what? Let me just kill my family.
Oh, that's gross.
After doing that, and he went ahead and he bought all those things to throw off the fact that he was going to take his 12-gauge shotgun, load it up, and unfortunately kill every member of his family, starting with the youngest.
Oh.
And the reason why he did it, according to sources, he didn't have enough money. There wasn't enough money going around during the Great Depression, because he ran a dry goods store. There wasn't enough money going around at that time. So instead of asking for help and everything, he decided the easiest way to do that was to kill his entire family. And then get rid of the stress, and then turn the gun on himself at the end.
Yeah, yeah. They turned around. They said that during the those times of error, there was a lot of children that were, you know, sent to orphanages. There were a lot of people that decided, you know, it would just be better. Sorry, folks, but those orphanages back then, they were not what everyone thinks they were. There were children that died. There were people that died. There were a lot of children that wanted to know what in the world they did to end up there.
The weirdest thing is that, like I said, he started with the youngest. Went up to the oldest and went to go shoot him. The oldest ran.
Smart kid.
He ran to the cops. Unfortunately, his father went in, loaded up the gun, because he was, let's just say, not smart enough and decided to return home after running to the cops.
Wanted to make sure everyone else was safe.
No, like I said, he took off and went ahead and reported to the cops. Unfortunately, he returned home, thinking the cops were behind him and were going to save
back
him.
Yeah.
He was met with his father and a shotgun.
Horrible.
So we got about a minute, so.
The reports, then it was turned over to a new family. The reports are of a little girl going ahead and coming down the stairs, asking, "Where's my daddy?" It's the youngest one asking. There is a documentary on Netflix that documents the hauntings, and yes, there is. It's called 28 Days. And that was supposedly the time frame that you have to try and calm the spirits enough for them to pass 28 days.
Wow.
Yeah, that documentary is on there. But I'm from the reports, it's not a bad thing. So if you want to, there you go. Thank you for the time.
All right. So we'll finish up this series. They'll bring us into Halloween, and then maybe we'll get Josh here, and he can talk about Norse paganism.
Yes.
Get a little series going on that.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get his wife up in here, and she can talk about all the Wicca stuff.
We are
out of here. We are desperately out of time. So for Darlene, Josh, Jessica, whatever your name is this week.
Really?
We are out of here, and we will see you next week.
Peace out. Love you guys. Have a good one.